Good morning. We are now studying in the book of Revelation, and our study is in part one, lesson two, and this will be chapter one. And we always begin our study in prayer. So let us pray. Thank you, Father, for another opportunity to study your word, to know you more, Father. And I pray, Father, as we do study in your book, your truths, that you will open our understanding and give us the wisdom and the knowledge to know you more, that we may spread your word among this dark world of sin to many that don't know Jesus. Father, just teach us through your Holy Spirit, and we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for it all. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Now, as we studied last week in the very beginning of Lesson 1, it was just an overview of chapters 1 through 5. And this was just to kind of get us so that we would know what we will be studying about. And we learned in that study, because it was a study to teach us what Revelation means, and to teach us the purpose of God revealing this to John, one of the 12 disciples. And we learned that he was the author and the writer. But today we're going to study mostly just chapter 1. And this is lesson 2 for those that are just joining us. So we learned that Revelation 1 was what John saw. And then Revelation 2, that was the things that were past. He saw it. He was present. And now in Revelation 2, we learn that this is about the things which are. That's the things that are present. That'll be about the churches. And then in Revelation 4 through 22, the things which will take place after these things, and that is the future. And we learned in our study last week that this book is a book of prophecy. And chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that it is a book of prophecy of what will take place in the future. And then we learned the purpose of Revelation in chapter 1, verse 1, and in chapter 22, verse 6. And it was to show Jesus' servants, God's servants, that is all believers, the things which will soon take place. So we know that it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And what did we learn was the meaning of revelation? It's apocalypse, and I can never say that word. It's the uncovering and the unveiling. It's a disclosure. So it's an unveiling of Jesus and the things which will take place. So, if Revelation was written to so show Jesus, bondservants, the things which must soon take place, then the main theme and the purpose of the book, then that is the emphasis on what is written. And we saw, as we studied this, it's a vision of Jesus and unveiling of who he is. And it's on the events then of who Jesus is and about the things which soon must take place. Now, when you look up the word soon, it means quickness, swiftness, or speed. Now, the disclosure of things which must quickly, speedily take place. And when these things begin to happen that John is told to write about, they happen with speed, quickly, or suddenly come to pass. That means rapidly, after that it begins to happen. Now, the idea is not that the event may occur soon, but that when it does, it will be sudden. So it's not like our calendar time that we look at and we say that it will soon be tomorrow. Here, it's not talking about the time that we express on our calendars as time, but it's talking about when it begins to happen, when all of these things that John is told to write down of the end of time, the future, whenever this particular time that he is told to write begins to happen, it will happen suddenly. It's something that will take place rapidly. So, this book then is Jesus' revelation of what will happen. And we learn that the communication came to Jesus from God, and then Jesus communicated it to an angel, and then the angel communicated it to John, and John communicated it to the churches, to God's servants. And that means here the seven churches represent all the churches that make up the believers in Jesus Christ. Now, communicate is to make known. It's to give a sign, to signify something, to make it known. So that's what it was given to John, to that he might make it known. Now, Jesus made these things known to John by an angel who showed him what he needed to see. And the revelation is what John saw. And then he wrote it to the servants, to the seven churches of Asia. And the seven is complete, and when it says seven, it's talking about all of the churches of Jesus Christ. So in verse 3, we learned that there was a promise given, that it's a book of prophecy, and all those that read it aloud or hear it and heed it, then it will be kept because of the time of its fulfillment. And those who do read are the ones that will be blessed. Now, the word blessed, when you look that word up in the Greek, because at that particular time, the Bible, the scriptures was written, they used Greek. That was the predominant language that was used. And here we see that in the Greek, blessed means happy. But it's more than that. It is possessing the favor of God. That state of being marked by fullness from God. So it's not just blessed to make you happy, but it's possessing the very favor of God when you are blessed. Now let's look at verses 1 through 4. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservant the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God, to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is he who reads, and those things who hear the words of the prophecy, and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now, as we have read through these, it gives us different words that are words that we need to understand what they mean and why they're there. This is the unveiling or disclosure of the character and the program of God. And it centers around visions and symbols of the resurrected Christ. Now, the Apocalypse is transliteration of the word apocalypse, meaning unveiling or disclosure or revelation. And of course, we know that this was communicated from God to Jesus, and from Jesus to an angel, and from the angel to John, and from John to the churches, which made up the servants of God. Now, let's go on and read verses 4 through 8. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. Now let's look at all of these verses and see what they mean, what it's about. Let me read one more verse. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, who and what are these verses about? Here in verse 4 is the beginning of John's specific message to the seven churches of Asia. It was from him, God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the one on the throne. And this is the reference to the Lord God, the Almighty. And we see that in verse 8. Now, we talk here about the seven spirits. This is referring to seven is complete. And so if it was seven spirits, it's referring to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit represents the Spirit of God. So verses 5 through 7 are all about Jesus, the faithful witness, the the firstborn of the dead. Now, we're not going into details on that, about the firstborn of the dead, because that is going to be another study in lesson 4. But here we see that it tells us that he is the ruler of the kings of the earth, that he freed us from all of our sins by his blood, and made us a kingdom of priests to his Father, God. And glory and dominion is ours forever. And we studied this in Daniel chapter 7, verse 14. And here we saw God in all of his dominion and glory. Now, the Ancient of Days, which is God the Father that we studied in Daniel 7, gave the one like a son of man, who was Jesus, dominion, glory, and a kingdom. And his dominion is everlasting, and his kingdom will not be destroyed. And all nations will serve him. And we studied that in Daniel 7:14. Now, in Revelation that we're looking at now, chapter 1, verse 5, he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And verse 5 says, and from Jesus, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. And then verse 7 is the first time that Jesus is mentioned in Revelation, but it's mentioned several times after this. And the things which must shortly take place are connected with the second coming of Jesus. And we don't want to confuse that with the rapture, because the rapture is whenever when Christ comes for the church, for all believers. But the second coming of Christ is when he comes to this earth and sets up his kingdom. So, at that time, his kingdom, his coming will be seen by all. And we know that he was pierced, and that refers back to the cross. And then the mourning might be because it will be too late for those who did not believe in him. Now, he says in verse 8, I am the Alpha and Omega. Now, that is a metaphor. A metaphor is an implied comparison of things that are different. Alpha and Omega in verse 8 would be considered as a metaphor, just as the Greek alphabet begins with Alpha and ends with Omega. The Almighty is the beginning and the end. So you can see how that it would be a comparison. Now, John was told to write what he saw, and he was to communicate with the letters of the Greek alphabet. Now, God is the consummation of all that was to be communicated. It originated with him and it ends with him. So, let's continue as we go forward in verses 9 through 11 of chapter 1 of Revelation. I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamon and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Now, what are these verses about? This is the third time that we see that John refers to himself. And here, it is a time of persecution that was going on in the time that John lived and at the time that he wrote Revelation. And he had been exiled because of his faith in Christ Jesus to an island that was off of the coast of Asia, which is modern Turkey today. And he had persevered in his tribulations. He persevered. He stood firm in it. He held on to, in other words, he overcome. He believed in Christ Jesus, and he stood upon that. And he looked more to the kingdom of God than to the earthly persecutions of the Roman ruling that was over them at that time. And we see, that he was in the spirit as he heard and saw the first vision in Revelation. And remember now, this is a vision given to John. Remember, as we studied in the book of Daniel, Daniel was given visions by the angel. And here we see John is given this vision of Revelation. But before seeing anything, he was told what to do. Before he was given this vision, he was told to write it down in a book, the things that he saw. And then he was to send it to the seven Asian churches. And he wrote it so that bondservants of this day, that we today can read what he wrote and heed it, and keep its prophecy. So, this was given to John in that day, but it was given to us in this day because he was told to write it down. And of course, we see that the voice that spoke to John, describes to us, it was like a trumpet. It must have been the angel's voice, but it sounded as a trumpet. It was a simile. Now, a simile is a comparison between two different things using the connecting word like or as. Like so-and-so or as so-and-so. So here we see that this voice was like, similar to a trumpet. In other words, it was very, very loud. Now, let's go forward and read verses 12 through 16. And see what these verses are describing. Starting with verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son. Now there's the word like a son of man, clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and hair were like white wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it had been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters, and in his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. So here we see that what he saw as he saw it was like something. It was similar to something. So he saw here the 7 golden lampstands. That's in, we saw that in verse 20, it interprets the lampstands as we go forward, being the 7 churches. And these 7 churches are named in verse 11 that we just finished studying. So here we see that what he saw was like a son of man in the middle of the 7 churches. This is similar to the description in Daniel 7 of the Ancient of Days. In Daniel, the Ancient of Days was referring to God, but here the description is of Jesus. And although the sight of Jesus was so awesome, John had to describe it by using terms that people could understand. That's why that you see throughout the book of Revelation that he describes it, these different things that he sees, in a description that the people of his time would be able to get a picture of what. That's why he uses a simile to describe it, something similar to, something that they were used to. And he could only say like because no earthly terms would sufficiently describe what he saw. Excuse me, I'm having having some trouble getting my voice cleared, and I ask you to bear with me and excuse me. Although the sight of Jesus was so awesome, he had to describe it, remember, so that the people would understand. He began to describe Jesus. Now, as you read this, close your eyes and think about Jesus. And think about this description of Jesus. He had a rope to his feet, a long rope. And he had a golden sash, a cross, and around his chest. And his head and his hair was white like wool and snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet glowing like burnished bronze. And a voice like the sound of the roar of many waters. And he had a face like the sun shining. Now, if you closed your eyes and pictured this in your mind of Jesus, what kind of picture did you get? All of his glory, all of his greatness. even in our minds, if we picture this, we can't even begin to imagine what Jesus looks like in all of his glory. But one day, when we stand in his presence, in our heavenly kingdom, in God's kingdom, in our heavenly home, then we will see all of this glory of Jesus, of who he is. So Jesus was standing, John saw him, in the middle of the lampstands, or we know that that represents the churches. He was standing in the middle of the churches. The church at that time was being persecuted, and Jesus knew that because he was there. And Jesus said, it says that John saw him and he held the seven stars, which represented the seven angels, the angels of the churches, in his right hand because he is in control and he communicated with the churches. Now, the sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. And this two-edged sword represents the Word. The Word itself is sharper than a two-edged sword. A sword that has two edges, it's sharp on both sides, not just on one. And his Word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's a Word that also brings judgment to the enemies of Jesus, of Christ. So, here we're seeing who Jesus is. Now, let's go ahead and read verses 17 through 20, and then we will talk about these verses. When I saw him, starting with verse 17, I fell at his feet like a dead man. Can you imagine? And he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. Therefore, write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." In the beginning of this, we see that this was so overwhelming. It was so undescribable that John fell at the feet of Jesus as he looked upon him and saw him in all of his glory. And don't you know, that's what we'll do when we come in his presence, that we will fall before his feet as a dead man. He says, "I fell as a dead man." He was very frightened. But Jesus told him not to be afraid. He placed his right hand on him, saying not to be afraid. And then he goes on to say to him, "I am the first and the last." He said, "I am the living one that died and I am alive forever. I am the one that has the keys of death and Hades. And then he told John to write. He said to write the things that he had seen. The vision of Jesus in the middle of the church. He was to write the things which we will study in chapters 2 and 3, the messages to the seven churches, and write the things, those which will take place after these things, that we will study in chapter 4 through 22. An exclamation he gives of the seven lampstands and the seven stars, the lampstands being the seven churches, and the stars as the angels of the churches. Every church has one of God's angels watching over. This seven in the churches represents each and every church today. And the seven angels that watched over represents a completeness of all the angels that are over all the churches. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures in the book of John that talks about the great I Am. And these are very familiar, and I think you'll call to your mind as I read them. John 8, verse 58. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." In other words, when Jesus spoke to these Jews, these Israelites, he said, "Even before Abraham I was born, I am in the beginning. I am the Word, the truth." Remember in John 1, he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there was nothing created without him." So Jesus was in the beginning, even before Abraham. Now in John 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, and we know to her it was to Martha. This was at the time of the death of Lazarus, and she was very upset because Jesus wasn't there, because she felt that if he had been there, that he would have been able to heal him and he would have died. But here Jesus told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." Because Martha had said, "Well, I know that we'll see him again in the resurrection." And Jesus answered her and said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even if he dies." In other words, even though Lazarus has died, he is going to live because he believes in me. He is the resurrection. And of course, we know the story that he did raise Lazarus. And then in John 14, verse 19, "After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also." So, this is where how we see that Jesus is the great I Am, the first and the last, the living one that died and lives forever. And he has the keys of death and Hades. So what does that mean, that he has the keys of death and Hades? He is the judge over it all. And at the end of time, at the great white throne judgment, then Jesus is going to bring judgment upon those that did not believe in him, did not accept him as Jesus, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And he is the one that will have the judgment to pronounce their faith. And he is the one that has the keys to Hades and hell, because he is the one that can place these unbelievers in that terrible place after their judgment. So now we see that John has been told to write things he had seen, and we just studied that in this chapter, and we saw the vision of Jesus in the midst of the churches. He was told to write the things which are, and we'll be studying next, our next study, chapters 2 and 3, messages to the seven churches. And then he was told to write the things which will take place after these things, and we'll be studying these things of the future in Revelation 4 through 22. Now, this is such a wonderful, powerful, exciting book that God has given to us. And I just pray that each of us will really take it seriously, that we will ask God through prayer to just reveal it to us and give us understanding. I know for some of you, this is the second time of your study. And I pray that God will just give me the understanding and the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to lead you. I can't teach you, but I can lead you through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that will teach you. But you have to pray. You have to pray for wisdom. You have to pray for knowledge. And I know from my experience that if you pray, if you rely on Him, He will give you understanding. He will help you. So let us close now in prayer. Father, how we do praise Your great name, the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, of the beginning and the end. Oh, Father, only You are worthy to be praised. And how we do praise You for Your precious Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus. And we thank You and praise You for the Holy Spirit, that as Jesus went away, that He said He would send us a Comforter. And I thank You and praise You that all believers have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And our prayer is, Father, my prayer is that each and every unbeliever will read and study and heed Your word and will believe upon the name of Jesus and be saved. Thank You now for this time and study together. We give You the praise for it. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. Now next week, we will start our study in Lesson 3, and this will be in Chapter 2, 1 through 7. So pray and study that God will lead us as we study His precious Word. And God bless you. Amen.